We talk a lot about COVID-19 and the pandemic and how it's impacted people. And we talk a lot more about emotional health than we ever have. But I think we've forgotten what life was like before COVID-19 in a very particular and tragic way. I don't think we actually talked about it at all in that time frame, which is that before COVID-19, the number one killer in America wasn't that disease or heart disease or cancer. It was loneliness. It was suicide. And it was growing a lot year over year. I remember being at a lunch table with a French professor discussing philosophy in college. And it's hard enough to discuss philosophy in English, but we were speaking in French. And she explained to me that she had grown up during the Cold War, when their biggest fear was whether the world was going to be blown up by a nuclear weapon at any time, whether the world was going to end in a nuclear holocaust. And this was before 9/11 and the global wars on terror. And so she asked me, well, without the Cold War, and at that time without terrorism, what was your biggest fear? What was your generation's biggest fear? And I said, I think it's loneliness. And that was honestly before the rise of Facebook and Instagram. That without an external force guiding us together, pushing us together, focusing us on a common goal, we were straying from each other. And we were straying from connection with each other. There's a New York Times article that came out earlier this year that said that a lot of millennials complain that they don't have any friends. And the determination by social scientists was it's because they're not putting in the work to have them. Somebody forgot to tell them that you have to like put in work to be friends with somebody. It's not just like the Real Housewives. There's not a camera floating around. You can't blow up in a fight 1 minute and be fine in the next episode. So we aren't putting in the work and we're lonely. And then we have social media on top of it where you're just filled and with a life confronted by thousands of people trolling for likes, dancing around as if their lives are perfect. You know, it was interesting at the beginning of COVID, the amount of social posting by people under the age of 30 went down, not up, because they didn't have anything to be out and about to share. And we saw this whole marketplace dry up for influencers because there wasn't anywhere to go. And when people were scrounging for paper towels, no one's really interested in whether you're shelling out a new protein powder. There was this charade, this facade that was broken. So if we take this epidemic of loneliness and we take the way that social media amplifies it, and then we take the fact that no one has taught this next generation how to even have friends, we have a crisis on our hands. And yes, there are other crises. There's economic injustice. There's racial injustice and social unrest. There's a lot of crises. But for all the talk we have about emotional health and wellness, if we don't understand that term, what it really means, and what it really means in terms of this crisis, in terms of westernized countries, and in particular the United States and our incident rate of suicide, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. Because coronavirus and this crisis will pass, but loneliness won't. And we won't address it. And all the talk about whether you have a Call Maps subscription or whether people are giving you inspirational lectures and talks will fade, just as any trend does over time. And we won't actually have done anything to solve the problem. And so, yes, we should be wearing masks. And yes, we should be focusing on a vaccine. And yes, we should be focused on making smarter, better policies to address racial injustice and economic inequality. But if I could just ask for one little request, it's that in the midst of that pot, and we don't have to stop any of those things, they're not lesser than just because of this. If we could also just focus for a second on the fact that our entire population feels distant from each other, feels alone, we might actually be able to make some real progress there too. And when people feel less alone, when they feel more connected to the people around them, you might find that they're more incentivized to take more action, to help the people around them, to do more about economic inequality, to do more about social unrest, to do more about racial injustice, because they're not alone and they're connected to the very people that we're trying to help. So instead of it being this ethereal social policy to make our society better, it's a reflection of making life better for people that we know and care about and love. And if we have people that we know and care about and love, then we're a little less lonely and maybe a little better off as a society, not just in that area, but in every problem that confronts us today. Thanks.